Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. And Church at Home is dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And what does that mean? Well, let's draw a little analogy or a comparison. What do you think about the fake news in the world? The great establishment news agencies, all fake news. And how did it become that way? Well, because they have an agenda. They have a different ethics. Instead of bringing truth, instead of bringing accurate news, they create it. And it's fake news. Well, have you ever heard of fake Christianity? Now, that's a good one to think on for a little bit, isn't it, huh? What is fake Christianity? Fake Christianity is the same as fake news. They take the Bible, they use certain parts of it, and they make it sound really, really, really good, and tell you lies in the name of God that sound blessedly true, but are fake. And since they quote from the Bible, everyone thinks that they're telling the truth of the Word of God. But they're not. They are deceived. So let's come to something that is very difficult to understand. When you look at all of the fake Christianity and their definitions of it, what does it mean to be under law? Fake Christianity will tell you that means anyone who tries to keep the commandments of God. Now that, we have seen, is a lie. And don't you think that's breaking the third commandment, taking the name of God in vain, to say something that they tell you God says, but he never said it? One thing, a church at home, this is not an emotional thing where you check your brain in at the door and you just believe whatever you are told. That's what fake Christianity is all about. What we do is teach the Word of God, compare the Word of God with the Word of God, understand the truth of God as God wants it understood by letting the Scriptures interpret the Scriptures. But fake Christianity takes a little bit here and says, well, ignore that part there. That's not for you today. Really? How does that fit when it goes to murder? Huh? How does that fit when it goes to adultery? Huh? How does that fit with lying and cheating and coveting? Oh, well, you shouldn't do those. Well, if you shouldn't do it, isn't that keeping the law? But they don't figure it that way because they hate the number one thing they hate with a passion, with an absolute vitriolic hatred, which is the holy Sabbath of God. The one commandment of the ten says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But no. They have to have all kinds of justifications, and they have to say that anyone who tries to keep the Sabbath is under law. Really? So let's look at it again. Let's see who is under law. And let's see how that works. Let's come to Romans, the 7th chapter and verse 1. Are you ignorant, brethren? Paul writes. Interesting. Are you really ignorant? Are you ignorant? So Paul is writing to people in very clear terms, isn't he? For I'm speaking to those who know law. And the Jews certainly knew law. They had all the laws of God plus all of the laws of their traditions. And their traditions were the problem. Now, you need to write in or email or request the book, Judaism, A Revelation of Moses, or A Religion of Men. Because the Jews claim that Moses gave traditional oral law in addition to the scriptures, a lie. And that set the stage for the lie of fake Christianity. So here in the days of the Apostle Paul, it went first to the Jew because they had the Word of God, they had the laws of God, they understood the Sabbath, they understood the holy days. So he says, for I'm speaking to those who know law, that the law rules over a man for as long a time as he may live. Now think about that. The law, the Ten Commandments, the laws of God, the judgments of God, the statutes of God are all contained in the phrase, the law rules over a man for as long a time as he may live. That means from the time of birth until death. Entire lifetime, correct? Now, I want you to think about it because we're going to look at some other scriptures. Does not everything in your body function according to the laws that God put in there? Yes, it does. When you're sick, you get a temperature. When you're sick, you vomit and you have intestinal problems. When you're sick, you're weak. Now, when you're not sick, everything's working fine. Your body's doing what it's supposed to do. Now, don't the doctors measure heart rate, so many beats per minute? If it's more than that, it's going too fast. If it's less than that, it's going too slow. Blood pressure, too high, too low. Right? Weight? Too much or too little? Those who have too little weight can have health problems. Those that have too much weight have health problems. Those are the laws of the body. Likewise, there are laws that govern the things that we have, such as electricity, such as refrigeration, such as air conditioning. And when the things go wrong, they break down, correct? Same way if you have a car, or if you don't have a car and you have a bicycle. It's exactly the same way. You've got to keep it in good condition. You got to take care of the tires, the tire pressure. You have to watch for a bicycle, the spokes, the seat, the handlebars, the brakes, and all of that sort of thing. And if they don't work right, you're going to get in an accident, correct? Yes. Now, let's come to Acts, the 17th chapter. Now then, as we go to Acts, the 17th chapter, you need to understand that it's the same way with the laws of God, because all the laws that I told you about are based on the creation of God and the laws that He put in it. And He put laws within us and laws outside of us. Plus, human beings have free will, choice, and minds, so they think, they reason, they conceive, they build. They do all of these things, and when they do it within law, then they're successful. Now, when the Apostle Paul was teaching, he came to the city of Athens, and Athens is where the intellectual great brains of the world existed. And even today, we have people who study Socrates and Aristotle and Pythagoras and all of the famous Greek philosophical brains and teachers. And the Greek pagan religion was based upon the philosophies or wisdom, because philosophy means lover of wisdom. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 16, because we're going to go through this and we're going to see something very important to understand. There is knowledge that men have out here that they think and that they reason, but it may sound really, really good, but when analyzed and compared with the Word of God, there are problems and faults with it. And so here is pagan religion, which is against the true original Christianity of God. But God has let men go their own way if they choose. Acts 17 and verse 16. But while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he saw that the city was wholly given to idolatry, and his spirit was sorely moved within him. Just like today, if someone went to San Francisco and saw what used to be a beautiful city, it's full of dirt and feces and drug needles and homeless and mentally ill and all of that, caused by fake Christianity. Verse 17, because of this, he reasoned earnestly in the synagogue of the Jews and those who worship there, and daily in the marketplace with those who met with him. So this is how he was evangelizing and telling the truth of God. And Paul would always go to the Jews first, because they had the law. They had the commandments of God. Now, verse 18, then some philosophers of the Epicureans and Stoics encountered him, and some of them said, what will this babbler have to say? And some said, he seems to be a preacher of foreign gods, because he was preaching to them the gospel of Jesus and the resurrection, the truth of the gospel and the truth of the purpose of mankind. But these philosophers thought, well, they had all the truth and philosophy that we thought of and put together, and we know because we are the wise ones. Doesn't that sound like today's world? The universities, the great teachers, the great minds, the politicians, the doctors, whatever it may be. They wanted to know more about this. So verse 19, they took him and brought him to Mars Hill, right up where the Pantheon was, where inside was a great statue of Athena. Now, Athena is very interesting. We'll have more to say about that later on, because we got a book coming out on Athena. And it's going to absolutely surprise you and waste away all the fake understanding you have of fake Christianity in this world and fake philosophy in this world. Now, Mars Hill. And they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is that is spoken by you? They never heard it before. For you are bringing certain strange things to our ears. So then, we desire to know what these things mean. What is it? Now all the Athenians and the strangers sojourning among them spent their leisure in nothing other but to tell and to hear something new. Just like today, they had everything they needed. They didn't have to go out and work. They had a lot of people working. They just sit around and think and think and think. Today, we call those think tanks. Then Paul stood in the center of Mars Hills and said, men, Athenians, I perceive that in all things you are very reverent to deities. And the Greek there is demons. Now, the demons are the fallen angels who fell with the rebellion of Satan against God. So they had false religion, pagan religion. Let's go on. For as I was passing through, observing the objects of your veneration, I also found an altar on which was inscribed, To the Unknown God. So then, he whom you worship in ignorance, you don't know anything about him because you admit the unknown God. Who is he? Where is he? What is he? We've got all of the gods that we know. He whom you worship in ignorance, the one that I proclaim to you, is the God who made the world and all things that are in it. Being the Lord of heaven and earth, he does not dwell in temples made by hands, nor is he served by the hands of men as though he needs anything, for he gives to all. That means every living thing, life and breath and all things. Every living thing. Then the next sentence. And he made of one blood all the nations of men to dwell upon the face of the earth. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? God made all men through the power of procreation given to male and female. And that's the way it's always been. There have been perverted sexual practices down through history all the time. And every time it comes about, they proclaim it to be new and generous and understanding and all of these things, but it's not. It's evil and wicked and debasing. Having determined beforehand their appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings in order that they might seek the Lord, if perhaps they might feel after him and find him, though truly he is not far from each one of us. Now, that's quite a statement, showing that even though God didn't reveal himself to certain people in certain nations, they still had their life because God gave it to them. They still had their nation or the boundaries of where they live because God had determined it. Now, notice the next verse. For in him, we, that's every living person, we live and move and have our being. Everyone on earth, whether they know God or not, whether they understand anything about the Bible, whether they know anything about the truth of original Christianity, whether they're pagan, whether they're atheist, whether they're agnostic, whether they're super smart, or whether they have very little intelligence, God made them all. And in him, they live and move and have their being. Now, what did we read back in Romans 7:1? The law rules over a man, and that includes a woman, for as long a time as he may live. Here we have that in him, we live and move and have our being. We walk, we talk, we build, whatever we do, we see, we hear, we think, we analyze. All of that is because of God. So, the whole world, every human being ever born is under law. Everyone is under law. They cannot escape. Now, some of them do some of the things that are required in the laws of God. And because of that, because God has just put mankind on their own, if they do that, Romans the second chapter shows that that's a law unto itself and God will bless them in it. But all of this has nothing to do with eternal life. All of this has nothing to do with understanding what salvation is about. This is not connected whatsoever with salvation, because as we saw, God must call. And God has seven spirits that go through the whole earth looking for those who are seeking God. And if a person is truly, truly seeking God, he will find him. That's the important thing. And that's why there are so many Bibles in the world, because God has it written down so that men can find the truth if they want it. Now, what is it that you want in your life? Now, are you a member of fake Christianity and go to some church on Sunday? Huh? What do they teach? Well, they teach that if you just accept Jesus, you're saved forever.
And all you have to do is that. Come into my life, Lord. I accept you and I believe in you. Confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. Ye shall be saved. So if you've done that right now, you are saved. So you should be rejoicing out there. Amen. And we should be rejoicing in here. Amen. Hallelujah.
What does the Bible teach? Well, we saw last time, you must be baptized. True baptism, a godly baptism. And we also saw that the hearers of the law are not just before God, but the doers of the law. Because God gave the commandments of God to give us perfect understanding on how he wants us to live. How do you like living in a lawless society? How do you like where there's murders, there are killings, there are shootings, there are thefts, there are disasters, all of those things? And why is that? Because men and women have turned their backs on God. And as we pointed out, and the greatest sin of America is abortion. And there are 66 million women who, in the eyes of God, are murderers because they murder their own children, their own flesh and blood. And what kind of murder could be worse than that? Not one. So you've got to come, as we have seen, to repentance. Deep godly repentance, not to be repented of. Now let's come back here to Romans, the 6th chapter, where it's talked about baptism. Now, baptism is not just a sign of your inner faith. It is a covenant ceremony where you, where I, where everyone who is baptized symbolically bury the old way of living in the world and living by false Christianity, fake Christianity, and coming to the knowledge of the truth, the true God, the true Jesus Christ. When that happens, then when we are baptized, we are conjoined to the death of Christ. So that is a solemn ceremony. And if you have not had a baptism like that, you are a member of fake Christianity. And fake Christianity is not going to lead to eternal life. That you need to understand. Just because it sounds good, just because some people say, blah, blah, this or blah, blah, that. Don't believe it unless they really explain the truth. Because the truth of the matter is, in being conjoined to the death of Jesus Christ, you symbolically die. The old man or woman, living the way you've always lived. And now you have to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism, because there's only one true baptism. If you're baptized into a church of fake Christianity, you need to be baptized again. We'll talk about that a little later. Into the death, because your sins were part of killing Christ, because Christ was the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And you individually can have that applied to you. So that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, in the same way, we also should walk in newness of life. What is that newness of life? That newness of life is loving God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your being, and as we covered in other segments, to keep the commandments of God. That is newness of life. So you think about that. You think about what is your life and what do you do and how do you do it and how do you justify it and is it really with what the Bible says? Is it really what the apostles teach? And remember this, the Word of God is true and there are no lies in the true Word of God. Some translations have interjected misinterpretations which become lies because they think that they are greater than God. That's why you need the Holy Bible in its original order, a pure, clean, true translation of the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament, with commentary, with appendices, to explain difficult parts of the Scriptures so you can have knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. That's why we have it. See? So you want that? We have all of these things available. Now then, you need the booklet, All About Water Baptism. That will tell you the meaning again. You can go over it and go over it in depth and understand even more. What is godly repentance? Because it is a tremendous, how should we say, life-changing moment of grief and understanding when you realize that the breaking of the commandments of God is sin, and that sin is what has killed Christ. But he willingly laid down his life so you could be forgiven. He will forgive you, but you must come to that repentance and you must be baptized with true baptism. Now, finally, you need the book, Lord, What Should I Do? We have that for you. What should you do? You should, as Paul has said, turn to God with all your heart, with all your mind, in deep repentance. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, so long, everyone.